This is WCNY's The Capitol Press Room, and we're highlighting a campaign to address the state laws governing consent for sexual activity, and specifically reforming what has been described as the quote-unquote voluntary intoxication exclusion. For more on this issue, we're joined by Assemblymember Jeffrey Dinowitz, a Bronx Democrat. Welcome back to the show, Assemblymember.
Good to be back.
So under current state law, there is language addressing whether a person who is mentally incapacitated as the result of intoxication can provide consent for sexual activity. But what are the limitations of what's on the books now?
Well, pretty much if somebody takes a drug or alcohol voluntarily, it's very difficult to prosecute a defendant who's alleged to have sexually assaulted them. As a result, cases like that aren't brought, and a lot of people are not getting the justice that they deserve.
And so does current law only cover instances where a person becomes intoxicated and they're not aware of the fact that they may have been slipped a drink or given a drug?
Well, more or less. I mean, the current law was written about, I'd say, 30 years ago to address the situation where people were slipped a date rape drug and they became intoxicated without knowing it, you know, or something could have been slipped in their drink, a drug could have been given to them through some other means. But in either case, the person was not, you know, functioning the way they need to be. They certainly weren't in a position to give any consent. So the law basically says if you were drugged, then a charge of sexual assault can be brought against an individual. However, if you voluntarily took drugs or consumed alcohol and therefore were, you know, intoxicated and you did it on your own, essentially, then there won't be a case brought. And so a lot of people, mostly women, would not receive the justice that they have a right to receive. And a lot of perpetrators would not answer for their crimes.
Well, how would your legislation address the dynamic you're talking about? Is it as simple as removing the involuntary language, or does more need to be done to finesse this situation?
Well, the language says, in addition to any other potential reason to prosecute somebody, that the victim was under the influence of any drug, intoxicant, or other substance to a degree which render the victim temporarily incapable of appraising or controlling such person's conduct. And such condition was known or reasonably should have been known to a person in the actor's situation, meaning that it doesn't distinguish between people who were intoxicated voluntarily, I'll use the word voluntarily, or not. And therefore, a whole category of people, and it could be, you know, a significant number of people, would be able to receive justice, that the prosecutors would be able to charge somebody that currently they're just not charging, either because they can't or they don't think they could win a case. But in either case, a person who was victimized, you know, would not receive the justice that they should.
And I think it's important in the language that you reference, there's the idea of a reasonable person knowing that that person was unable to give consent. So when you think about reasonableness, does that come down to, say, witnessing a person having 5-6 drinks and knowing that that would definitely impair someone?
Yes. I mean, obviously, many things could go into that. Those are questions of fact. But if there are two people, say, at a bar, and one person knows that the other person is like very drunk or, you know, intoxicated through some other method, then a reasonable person, and that would certainly mean the person we're talking about in this case, should know or should have known that the person could not give consent. And you may ask, well, what is a reasonable person? How do we know what's reasonable? Well, that's up for a jury to decide. But any reasonable person would know that if the person with whom they're spending their time at the bar, let's say, if they've had several drinks, there's odds are that they're not in a position to give consent.
So this issue has been kicking around for at least 4 years now, and I remember covering it back in 2019 when it had the support, and maybe still does, of the State District Attorneys Association. But at the time, I talked with a district attorney in the Capital Region, a Democrat, and he argued that when it comes to consent or lack of consent with alcohol being involved, there's a difficult line to sort of navigate. Do you think it's that tricky to determine consent when alcohol's involved, or is this a more nuanced situation than some might give it?
Well, sometimes it could be a little more difficult than others, but you have to look at the facts and circumstances of a particular case. And there could be other witnesses that could testify. There could be video, for example. And so there are ways of evaluating and determining whether somebody was not in a position to give consent. And as I said earlier, that's something to be determined by a jury.
And right now, under current state law, if someone is voluntarily intoxicated, but they lose consciousness at some point, as well as during a sexual activity, they are no longer in a position to give consent. Is that correct?
Well, yes, that's true. And I think the bottom line here is simply the fact of somebody having some drinks, which, you know, I have my own opinion as to whether people should drink, but that's neither here nor there. But the fact of somebody having drinks or even having taken some drugs, that's not an invitation to be raped. That doesn't mean somebody can do whatever they want simply because another individual has taken drugs or alcohol. That's just outrageous. And to a certain extent, all too often, that's the situation we have now, which is why we have to pass this legislation.
And this legislation has been approved in the past in the Senate. This year, I think it was adopted without any opposition. What is the challenge that you keep coming up against in the Assembly in trying to get a floor vote for this? Because I have to imagine if it came to the floor, it would probably pass overwhelmingly.
I have no doubt about that. The challenge is that the same challenge we have with a lot of bills. Some bills move quickly, others, you know, there are roadblocks, some that we don't even know about, believe it or not. 1 year it moved from my committee to the Rules Committee, but it never made it to the floor. It's my hope, and I'm certainly going to continue to work hard to make it happen, that this will be the year when we get a floor vote on this legislation, because it's all about fairness and doing the right thing, and passing this bill and making it law is the right thing.
Are there, though, specific constituencies that you hear from about their concerns about this legislation?
I don't think there have been, there certainly haven't been individual constituents, but I imagine other than some people in the defense bar, I'm not aware of a lot of opposition to this. But sometimes bills that seem to be almost a no-brainer have a tougher time passing than you would think. I mean, I'll give you an example. The Assembly passed a bill many, many times over the years that was called Rape is Rape. The legislation was introduced by then Assembly member Arabella Simotas because of a situation that happened where a teacher was sexually assaulted by an individual. But the law did not cover cases where somebody is assaulted, you know, orally or anally, as opposed to, you know, what people considered a more traditional way of assaulting somebody, for lack of a better word. And we had to change that. And we passed legislation year after year after year, and the Senate just wouldn't do it, didn't do it. And then after, I don't know, 12 years, I think the Senate finally did it, thankfully. And it happened, and people were saying, well, why isn't the Senate passing that? I'll never know the answer to that, but sometimes things just take longer in one house or the other than we would like it to take and longer than we think it should take. So hopefully this bill will pass much sooner than the 12 years that took to pass that bill in the Senate.
Well, we've been speaking with Assemblymember Jeffrey Dinowitz. He is a Bronx Democrat. Assemblymember, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Support for the Capitol Press Room provided by the New York State AFL-CIO. a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. More information at unionstrongny.org. And by the New York State United Teachers, a statewide union of nearly 700,000 professionals in education and healthcare.